Zinim's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Morning.
Good morning to you too.
Good morning.
You all right, mate? No way, toilet stop.
Yeah, a little bit of fruit toast. What was that? A fruit crumpet this morning.
Had a fruit toast. Yeah.
Was it fruit toast? Or was it more like one of those split English muffins?
It was a fruit English muffin.
Okay. It smelled, yeah, when I walked into the work kitchenette, what an absolute greeting to the nostril.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got a bit of an upset stomach, so I can't
for
even
a
normal.
While now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're a bit worried.
It's all more on this later in the show, but you've had to do.
Had to do something quite embarrassing.
Something like that.
Yeah. Let's not.
And it'd certainly take you down a peg or two, regardless of who you were. Like, you could be Donald Trump, but even you would be like, ee.
Yeah.
Ha. My head probably get somebody else to do it.
All right, top six is coming up soon.
The top six are other annoying things that Richie and Gemma have got planned for their honeymoon that they're going to share with us on social media.
Right.
Guys, they went for a 20K run on their honeymoon.
Oh, what?
Through the foothills of Wanaka.
I couldn't go on a 20K run, period, let alone want to do it on my honeymoon.
Yeah. I mean, honeymoon's for making a pig of yourself. And
wait, where did they go? Where's their honeymoon?
They're still in Wanaka, where they got married. Right. They went for a run through the foothills.
Ugh. Wouldn't they go, so are they not going overseas?
They might be going overseas, but maybe right, they're doing like a multi-stage honeymoon.
Right.
But here, but there, but everywhere, but in the Skyline Garage.
No, what was
he? He wasn't Skyline Garage, was he?
Versatile. He's one of them, aren't he? He's got a free garage out of it.
Yeah,
right. As soon as I say I do, I'm eating chibis.
Oh, yeah. That's... You've got him now, Gemma. Blow out, mate. Yeah. Don't even worry about it.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
Three headlines. Vaughn and Megan have to pick one headline only. The other's deleted. Headline one, truck spills Skittles traffic. Headline two, man gets rid of door-to-door salesman. And headline three, rap music video gets real.
Well, I know the rap music video. Is that the Australian one?
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
No.
So they're filming a rap music video in some basement in Brisbane, and some guy's got fake guns, but they're fake guns that still can't be fired at a close proximity.
Okay.
And they were fired.
Because blanks still can't be fired close, can they?
No, is that what happened? That's right. And now he's dead.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Dirt.
He's
dirt. So there's a massive investigation into that.
Just dub over a sound effect of a gun being fired.
Yeah.
No one's going to know.
Why are we still firing guns in rap music videos?
I don't. Especially in Brisbane.
Yeah.
and like, there's no good Australian rap, right?
No.
That's a fair thing to say. I'm not Hip-hop. Being unfair no. there.
It's
not
terrible.
Really. It's too white.
Because they sound really Australian.
Yeah.
Like, at least our rappers sound American.
I don't think that's a compliment.
Probably, yeah, no, but okay.
I don't know. So that Australians have a twang about it. I don't know.
Which one are we going? Skittles truck, Vaughn.
Yeah, well, I think I know what it's about. It's about Skittles or something, right? Like the delicious lolly. But I still want to know where, how much, what happened.
Okay, well,
so
we go
give me that one.
To Dodge County in America. And a motorway turned into a sea of red after a truckload of Skittles spilled across the road. Now, it's bizarre because I don't know, this must have been like a movement of Skittles, a cargo of Skittles before they were put into their packaging.
Because they are all red.
All red. And I'll show you a photo. Somebody stood.
I love the red ones.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh. Like, would you? I'd still eat those.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of Skittles just strewn across the road.
That amount at one time of one colour and then they mixed it later.
I don't know.
And then, like, you know, you pour a few kgs of each colour in and spin it around and then they get packaged.
I don't know.
Also, there's no packaging. Like, were they just in the truck like that?
Yeah.
Well, no, they were in sacks or containers or boxes or drums.
Yummy.
But they all spilt out, yeah.
Because you always get yellow ones in them. You get heaps of yellow and orange.
In fact, I can confirm now that the Skittles were in boxes that got wet because of the rain. And they were actually, oh my God, okay, they were actually on their way to be used. This is weird. as cattle feed because they were seconds and didn't make the cut.
What?
This is why you should always read to the end of a story.
They feed beef sugar.
Yes. And not only that, like really? In America, if these were red, they'd have that red.
Yeah, the banned food colouring, the one that we're not okay with here. You have to have a different sort of red.
So not only
the banned additive.
Ooh.
Isn't that amazing?
Cattle eating sugar. That's madness. That's,
yeah, pure sugar that they're eating. Does that make their milk sweet?
Yeah,
I'm just reading a 2012 article from a farming magazine.
Yeah.
The feeding of sugar to livestock is a new concept in animal feed technology. Increases profitability and outcomes.
Does it fatten them up? Because that's what it's doing to us.
It's just... Yeah, but badly fattening them up, right? Because they've never eaten sugar like us, except we are told, you know, a little bit. But if they just had a trough full of Skittles in front of them, much like us, put us in front of a trough full of Skittles and we'll eat till we're sick.
Just keep going.
Yeah, did they vomit and fall over?
and have heaps of regret. I'm not doing that again, and then do it again the next day.
Yeah.
That's...
Wow.
Another good reason just, not to be eating American beef.
Yeah, reeling at the fact that their beef eats red Skittles.
Yeah.
Seconds. I'd probably still eat seconds too as well.
Me too, I would.
Oh yeah, I'm not fussy.
Just blow the stones off them.
Oh no, seconds before they were on the ground.
Oh right.
Yeah, I'm not eating them on the ground.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Student loans. A friend paid off a student loan yesterday.
Right.
Very proud of themselves.
Oh,
you've paid off
feeling.
Your student loan, Fletch, Megan.
I paid mine off.
Yours is done.
It was the best feeling ever. Because then you get that free money every pay.
No, well, you've earned it.
It's like free money. That automatically got taken out.
Yeah.
Then it's like free money.
It's like a little pay rise.
Yeah.
Without actually having to get a pay rise.
Yeah. I only paid mine off 2 years ago. So, like, it took me, I don't know, 10 years after I finished studying to pay it off.
Oh, well, I'm only 22. I assume I'm going to have my student loan for another 15 years,
A while, guys.
Well, apparently it's becoming harder to pay off student loans as they're getting bigger, which kind of makes sense, right? Because the bigger any loan is, the harder it is to pay off. The longer it'll take to pay off.
Yeah.
Still interest-free.
Yeah.
If you're in New Zealand, but if you're not, of course, the interest is on it. And if it's a big one, you might be struggling to put a dent in it.
Because I get quite annoyed having stayed in New Zealand and paid off my loan when someone just goes overseas and doesn't pay it back.
And doesn't
it's
pay
like
it.
Very cheeky.
You get
it's
those stories
cheeky.
And now, you know, you're hearing about people that are loan skippers that don't pay their loan and they
end up
get arrested.
For it.
Yeah. Well, they can't get in or they can't get out, one of the two.
You'll be stuck in Australia.
The median loan balance, so that's the loan like right in the middle. So you take the highest and you take the lowest and then you count the numbers in each side and it's the one right in the middle.
Just in case you didn't pass maths.
Well, it's a bit different to an average. People always talk about the average student loan, but this is the median, so this is right in the middle. It's gone up. Over the last 6 years, it was $10,000. Now it's $14,000, nearly $15,000, just shy of $15,000.
Right.
So student loans are getting bigger.
And how long is it taking people to pay off?
Well, it's taking them a longer time to pay off too, especially those that do go overseas.
But why is that? Just because they're more expensive? Because it's not as if you have to pay
interest. But it's because university's becoming more expensive.
And it's really expensive renting and
stuff. And people are staying longer
in the big cities.
And I don't know, has that gone up? You know, the money you could get per week?
The allowance.
That must increase with inflation, right? That must go up a bit by bit. So that's why it's all getting bigger is because people aren't necessarily staying longer.
Yeah.
But they are borrowing more money to do it, to pay for their courses and to pay for their living while they're there.
Yeah.
And it's getting more expensive. So, and more people are going overseas at the end of it and having to pay interest on it. So she's still there and it is increasing.
8.5 years to pay off a bachelor's graduate certificate or diploma in 2014.
Yeah. And that's gone up from just short of 7 years, 6 years ago. So it's ever increasing. And apparently less people are going. In 2005 was when it was peaked. When it peaked, most people going to uni and getting there and doing it for a bit and being like, I don't like this, and leaving. So like short-term, what they call temporary students.
Right.
So the people that are going now are staying for the length of the degree, meaning that in turn, also their loans are larger than the average person 10 years ago.
Oh, whenever they release those lists of the larger student loans, that makes you just, whoa, like...
Oh, there's some people that will never pay off their student loan.
Like those people that like go to doctor school and then they're like, I don't want to do this, I'm going to become a pilot.
And then they did
and then
pilot.
They've got like this $200,000
loan. And then they're like,
you know what,
I want to be a dentist. And now I want to learn to fly helicopters.
And then suddenly they're 45 and...
Yeah, and they're like, I can do lots of things. I haven't done any of them. But man, can I?
Yeah.
You should see me with my all my potential over here.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
It's the top six.
Hello, good morning. In the top six today, the top six other annoying things Richie and Gemma have got planned for their honeymoon that they'll share with us all on social media. Went for a run in the foothills of Wanaka for the start of their honeymoon.
Posted a photo. Everybody posted a news story following that.
Yeah, everyone's lapping it up.
Yeah.
Lapping up that they went for a run in the foothills. I want to know who took the photo. Because it wasn't a selfie. It was like there might have been a self timer, but it looked far enough away that even on a 10-second timer, it would have been a quick dash back to premium, premium spot.
But is that all they're doing for their honeymoon? Just staying in Wanaka? Or
maybe they're not I don't know their schedule yet.
I don't know their schedule, but this 20K run was posted on Gemma Flynn's Instagram.
Yeah.
5,311 likes, 34 comments. Mm. Some of those comments including, I thought you were changing your name to Gemma McCaw. To which I'm just like, give her a bit of time or she doesn't have to.
Yeah. Her choice.
That's completely her choice. Not your average honeymoon kicking off with the 20K run, but I wouldn't change a thing. That's this emoji face. You know that one that's kind of a kissy, smiley, blushy face?
Yeah.
Happy and then hashtag self-timer. But man, she must have honked it back from that camera. So the six other annoying things they've got planned for the honeymoon that they'll share with us on social media. Six, I can tell they're one of those couples that's going to eat really well for the whole thing. And if they upload photos of food, it's going to be like granola and coconut yogurt with some almond shred on top.
Kale, salads.
But that's pre-wedding. Post-wedding's like burgers and chippies.
Running in foothills is pre-wedding too. Yeah. What are they doing? Come on, guys. Just...
She still has to be an athlete, though.
Well, I know. Yeah, they both. They couldn't.
Yeah.
They've got a.
Yeah, but hasn't he given up? I'd just give up. He's all that training.
I can't believe he's on for a 20K run. He's mostly a robot now, isn't he? Cyborg joints.
Yeah.
Poor bloody guy. Number five, heaps more fitness. I can imagine there's going to be kayaking, walking, biking, maybe a little bit of touch rugby. They'll be doing it all.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see it.
It's just not my idea of like a fun honeymoon.
Nah.
To do all that.
Like a mushy shake on Koh Phangan Beach and trying to jump over a rope on fire while avoiding Australians in Bintang singlets. Sounds that, much more like your average New Zealand honeymoon. Yeah. That's from specific memories of mine, although they are a little bit blurry. Number four on the top six, other things Richie and Gemma have got planned for their honeymoon that they'll share with us on social media. Plenty more sponsored posts. 12 hours ago on his Facebook page, which has like 500,000 likes, Richie McCaw was telling us to buy mattresses that Gemma was involved with.
Oh, okay.
Wait until they get pregnant. Then they'll be the mattresses that, you know, it happened on.
Oh,
and they'll
fly
off the shelves because those are the mattresses that the next king of New Zealand was conceived on. Or queen.
Yeah.
Queen of New Zealand. Number three, now I can't guarantee this one, but if they don't, they're missing a trick. They'll take a photo or video on Snapchat with that silly face distorting filter on, save it to their phone and upload it to all your social media outlets.
Yeah.
Does Richie have Snapchat?
Not a public one that I'm aware of.
He needs it. He's got time now.
You reckon he could get it on the Snapchat?
Yeah.
But his voice sounds like the voice on that filter.
I know, so imagine it with the filter.
But almost completely. It would just be like... Number two on the list of the other things Richie and Gemma have got planned for their honeymoon that they'll share with us on social media. If they fly overseas, and I'd imagine they probably will, they'll put up a photo of their business class seats with Air New Zealand tagged in saying, oh my God, totally unexpected upgrade to business. Thanks, Air New Zealand. Which I'm also totally open to do on my next flight. I know I don't have 500,000 people on Facebook, but I'm totally not above this.
Yeah.
The negativity at the start of the sentence came from a place of pure jealousy. And I don't need to take my wife and kids into business class. Just don't tell them that I said that. That'd be really great.
Yeah.
And the number one thing they got planned for their honeymoon, they better bloody do, because the rest of us do, put a photo of their wedding rings whilst on their hands doing a cheers with some yummy looking cocktails on a tropical beach in the background with the Mr. and Mrs. hashtag. And that's just cute AF.
Yeah.
Cute AF. That's today's top six.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
I've always thought it would be, and growing up in Hamilton,
Yeah.
He always wondered what was in the Waikato River. And I'm sure you're like that in any city with like a harbour or a river, a big body of water.
Yep.
Because I remember seeing, I think it was a documentary or a news story when I was young about Sydney Harbour. They put a camera down underneath Sydney Harbour and like in a submarine and scooted around and you saw all the things. And
yeah.
It almost had a treasure hunter type vibe to it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's down there. And surely things have been thrown away to try to dispose of evidence, good and bad.
We've all been drunk and thrown a road cone in the lake.
What? Well, have we?
Apparently, yes, we definitely have been. Because yesterday there was a massive clean out of Wellington Harbour, bit of a spring clean by some divers, and they hauled out all the stuff that they found, 41 truck tyres.
How are those getting in there?
Just people just chucking them in there. Like, the thing about a tyre is it can move a bit under there, so we don't know how long they've been down there. Right. As one person commented on the photo, this might just be the light playing tricks, but a couple of those tyres look like they've got a right tread left on them. But again, I don't know how well they'll be after being in salt water for that long.
Is it people that have these tyres and they're like, well, I've got to get rid of this. I'll just drive down to the wharf and chuck it in.
Well, no, I don't know that. Or they've been on boats.
Right.
Maybe, and they've fallen off boats. Or they've used them as, you know, when you butt into the wharf.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Reduce a bit of the shock on the boat. I don't know if they fall in every now and then. I'm not 100% sure, but there's a whole lot of tyres, 41 of them. 8,000 litres of junk in its entirety was pulled out, and plenty more, I'm imagining. Four truckloads. Other things included many road cones, as you said.
Oh, disgusting.
Disgusting behaviour. Totally.
Disgusting behaviour.
Totally agree. One of the more interesting items, though, and it made for a wonderful headline.
Supermarket trolley. Is there a supermarket trolley?
Yeah, there's a supermarket trolley in the background there. There's a wheelie bin. There's a mountain bike, which I'm guessing is probably somebody's stolen mountain bike's been recovered, but it looks a bit buggered now.
Yeah.
The thing that led to the great headline, though, is there was a bottle of, and I've Googled to find out what it is. In Vietnam, you can buy, it's called Vietnamese snake wine.
Yeah.
And it's got snakes in the bottle and scorpions and stuff. You know, the only the sort of thing you'd ever see in Southeast Asia. and you'd probably buy on a drunken whim only to find it. Customs, they're like, you cannot certainly not bring that in here. Well, someone must have and tossed it into Wellington Harbour because that was found. But, and the headline just says, snakes and scorpions found in Wellington Harbour.
Oh, that's so
terrifying. So you're like, click. And then you just find out it's in a bottle and they're both dead and preserved in booze.
Do you think someone was coming in on a cruise or like a fishing boat and they were like, I can't bring this in.
Good call.
Over the edge and into the water.
That's very true. Maybe they were on the boat, they got their customs forms and they were like, actually I can't bring this in. Bloop, over the side. So they reckon there's about 100 truck tyres left to remove from the harbour. They said the only reason they stopped was that was the time they had allocated for it. They could totally have kept going and kept finding more rubbish. So.
Wow.
No bodies, though. No limbs?
Nothing mentioned.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if that's...
Imagine if you're scuba diving around there and you just find like a black plastic bag in the shape of a body. You'd be like...
bag's not opening
there. I'd leave it there.
I'd be like, that's
well, I came for the truck tyres, man. I didn't come for...
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
I have never had a baby, so I'm going to actually weirdly need Vaughn's help on this.
He's never had a baby either,
though. No, but he's been there twice.
I've been present.
Right.
For two.
A first-time
mum. I've also never had a baby. I'll just get that in there.
Yeah. Okay.
Carry on.
You've got
and
Karen.
And never been present.
That's true.
She didn't give birth
Karen's
to Karen.
Karen's a boy.
No. I'm a dad, but, you know.
Yeah.
Just didn't give birth.
You're a new age dad.
Yeah.
So a first-time mum in the UK was asleep when she gave birth to her son, which sounds very crazy and far-fetched, but let me explain.
Well, no, you hear about this. Like someone thinks they need to go to the toilet and they go to the toilet and the baby plops out into the toilet.
Well, she knew she was pregnant. It's not like, surprise, oh my gosh, son,
had
a baby.
Oh, okay, right.
She knew she was pregnant.
Yep.
She went into the hospital. She had contractions. Now, they hook you up to a machine that, like, measures the contractions?
Yeah, because every time contractions happen, heartbeats change and blood pressure changes and stuff, yep.
And they can tell how far into labour you are, how ready you are to give birth.
That's by measuring the dilation.
Dr. Smith over here.
You have to be, like, 10 centimetres dilated?
10 centimetres dilated, that's where we can start pushing, yep, sure.
So she was hooked up to this machine, supposed to know what the deal is. Now, they read it as saying that she wasn't ready. She was, like, miles away from giving birth, so she could have a wee nap. So they gave her medication to help her sleep, and sleep she did. except when she woke up, she had pretty much given birth to her son.
There'd be so good and bad everybody's about that, right?
Yeah. Because like, if she slept through it, she didn't get all like the pain and stuff.
Yeah.
But then they need you present because you need to push when it's the right time to push.
Right. And you'd want to witness that, wouldn't you? That moment
Where
the doctor's like, well, that's whatever.
But then they don't try waking her up. Like, what did they give her for sleep?
And everybody's... Well, I guess then they have to be careful injecting more stuff into you. Like, they'd have to inject something into you to help you wake up. Surely. And then you've got a baby in you that's still connected, so you don't want to give too many drugs.
Was this in New Zealand?
This was in the UK.
Oh, right. Okay.
Her name was Alice, so she gave birth to Philip, her first child, her son, and she wasn't awake for it. And then they tried to put him in her arms for, you know, skin to skin.
Skin to skin, yep.
And she couldn't hold it because she was too groggy and half
she's
asleep.
Floppy.
So 2 hours later, when she finally came around, she met her son that she gave birth to 2 hours ago. Like 2 hours prior.
Wow.
She said she was happy that she was spared the pain of labour, but she'd wish she'd been more present for the birth of her first child. I'd be pretty pissed, I think.
Everybody's labour's different. So it's weird that they thought, oh no, we'll put you to sleep, because kind of once it started.
They obviously thought they had heaps of time.
But that's the weird thing. You just don't know. It can come on super quickly. You hear about people who have their first contraction and 20 minutes later have a baby. Like, that's just how quick it happens.
Wow, okay.
Now that I think about it, like, I'll always be terrified of, I'm like, God, that'll hurt so much. But now that I think about it, that's really upsetting that you never
that
have that memory. They took that off you.
Mm. I still couldn't imagine you having kids.
No, neither. But it's going to happen at some point, isn't
it? Just imagine Toy Boy and then a few years younger. That's... She's got a kid.
Right.
Well, because I'll have to look after it and stuff.
No, it's just primarily age difference.
Oh, right.
Like, Toy Boy looks after you more than you look after Toy Boy. So it's less like he's
true.
Your kid and it's more like you're his grandma.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Got a Snapchat yesterday afternoon from Fletch, who behind the scenes has not been, like, well, really, have you?
Well, yeah, I'd been back from overseas a couple of days and then I think I ate some dodgy food.
And you've had an upset stomach for what's going on, a week?
Yeah, it's been a week.
Yesterday.
Because like, when we were in Roxburgh at the weekend and we were all scoffing Stoneford like it was going out of fashion,
that.
You were very reserved.
And you know I love my Stoneford.
You had a cider though. I thought that was risky business.
Over the weekend it was fine. I was like, you know, it wasn't perfect, but I was like, I'm getting better, this is great. And then yesterday it was
all
I don't want to go into details, but I was very close with my toilet yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I was like, you
comes
know what?
From the bum like a bullet from a gun. Diarrhea.
But I've been overseas before and I've had it for like a week because it can be pretty bad. And I'm just like, I'll write it out. I'm a Kiwi bloke. I'm like, you know, it'll be fine. It'll fix itself. Yep. But yesterday I was like, oh my God, this can't keep going on. This is, you know, it's hard because you've only got a song and then, you know, you might only have 3 minutes to go to
like,
the toilet.
Literally, if it goes ads, news, traffic, weather.
You might have 4 minutes max.
Fletch is gone. Like every time.
Yeah.
Scoots out.
I've been all right this morning though. Anyway,
you're on
so
your
I was,
electrolytes.
I was like, I've got to go to the doctor and see if I've got like Zika, Giardia, Cryptosporidium. I don't know, all those things.
E. coli.
All those things you hear on those water filter ads.
Yeah.
I've got to go see what's wrong.
So part of the testing was that you had to poop into a container. I got sent a picture of the container and he's like, how am I meant to poop into this tiny container?
I thought you were gonna say post poop.
Have you done this?
I know, pre-poop.
No, do you know what? I was a good friend. I didn't send you post-poop.
I wouldn't have minded.
Because it's... So anyway, the doctor gives me all these forms to go get, like, blood tests and stuff, and then gives me this container. It's in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. So I go to the testing place, and I do the blood test, and then I'm like, what about this? And they're like, oh, you don't do that here. I was like... I was like, okay.
And you're like... No, but you could because you've got diarrhea. It's the one time where you can poop on demand.
Yeah, but
they don't want you to dispose of it at your house.
Yeah, they want.
Oh, they don't want to have to deal with the fallout.
They don't want to have to deal with any of that.
Because it's a small container and you're going to have maybe some overflow or some, you know, some breaches.
I was confused because I was at the testing place. I was like, yeah, but I need to get tested. Like, what? At home, like that's I don't have a laboratory at home. They're like, oh yeah,
you
do
bring
that,
it back.
Do that there, and bring it back. I'm
I
like,
can't believe
oh,
you've never
okay.
had to do this.
No, I've never ever had to do it. And so you get this tiny little container. It's like an inch and a bit high.
Yeah,
and
it's got a little lip.
And I didn't know this, but until I took the lid off, it's got a little scooper in there. And I'm like, to this lady, I'm like, how much do I put in here? She just like holds up her little finger, just like this much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. I'm just like, okay.
I didn't realise.
I'm here because I've got diarrhea, love. I can't do a thimbleful.
No, that's why you've got the collecting container,
right?
And then the scoop, and then the small jar.
You get something that resembles.
I didn't get the collecting container.
You didn't get the strawberry punnet. The thing that looks like the strawberry punnet.
Oh, did you not get that?
No. They give you a strawberry punnet. And they're like, keep this clean. And then on the corner of the strawberry punnet, there's a tipping thing and you tip it in.
You know, I've used those when you do a wee test.
Yeah, well, it's exactly the same.
Oh, no, they didn't give me a punnet. But then how would I?
Did you poop into the tiny container?
And you have a scoop.
Did you put the mouth of the container straight up to your butt?
No. No, I didn't.
How then?
I just scooped it out.
Of where?
Of the toilet.
Oh, no, you can't go in the toilet.
No, it was on the, like, the side bit.
Oh,
on the back bit. I just scooped a little bit up.
No, you can't go on the back and they're going to be like,
okay, so you've tested
positive for cryptosporidium and toilet duck.
No, it wasn't any that had touched the...
And blue toilet water.
No, yeah.
Oh, dude.
No, you've done it wrong.
No,
you contaminated your test. Bad news, Mr. Fletcher. We're going to need you to do this again.
They didn't give you...
Oh, this time ask for the strawberry punnet.
I'm not going to poop in a strawberry punnet.
No, it looks like a strawberry punnet.
Yeah,
it's not
where
a strawberry
do you hold that?
It's big. It's like a punnet. And you just hold it there and...
But I've got
diarrhea. Turn into it and then use the scoop. It doesn't matter. Then you can tip it in.
No.
That's your problem.
Anyway,
yuck.
I didn't get any that touched the toilet. It's fine.
No. You've contaminated.
And anyway, so then I have to scoop it up and put it in this container and I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Try not to touch it like it's a game of operation. Like, I don't want to touch the sides.
The sides.
So I put it in and then you screw it round and it just like... It's all in there. And anyway, so I put it in the bag with this biohazard symbol on it and I go to drop it off and they're like, oh, you need to write your name on the container because they don't want to write my name on the container.
So I had to sit
in the waiting room of this
place. And it's very hard to write on a round
Was it clear?
Yeah, it was clear. So I'm sitting there with a clear container.
And you're trying to hide
my feces.
Yeah, you're trying to hide it against your chest for embarrassment and say, and write on it.
Writing my name and date of birth on this container. And then she holds it up and she's like, is this correct date of birth and name? Yes, it is. I just wrote it on there. So yeah, that was my day yesterday.
Worst is if they'd be like, and write today's date. You write 2016. You're like, oh, I'm going to need another container.
Because I've messed it up.
I've done the wrong. They're like, just cross out that date. No, I'm going to need another container.
But then Megan's had this done before, and
I had a punnet to make it easier.
That aside, they take it to some like lab and they grow Med stuff lab. In it.
Yeah, I think that's how they find out what you've got is they grow the disease.
Yeah, because if it's bacteria, it'll grow in a petri dish, but it's a virus won't. So then they'll be able to see what kind of bacteria grows.
Right. You to get your results back. But now you have to share your results with the country because we all need to know.
Sit tight in the fact that your poo is now in an incubator growing into what could be a very dangerous bacteria.
Yeah. I know. I was thinking about that poor person that has that job, has to open all those containers. Like, let's just take our jobs for granted today. Mm. So someone has to open up a container of my poo today at work.
And not just yours, probably quite a few people.
I know.
And, you know, just purely on percentages, one of them's going to drop and hit the ground and poo's going to go on their shoe. So that's why they can't. Well, that's why lab technicians can't wear jandals to work.
No,
you wouldn't.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Right now, though, new year, new you. You might be doing like Fitzbo for the start of the year. Maybe it's your New Year's resolution. It's not easy, especially if you're not that way inclined. But there is 7 habits of fit people that I want to take you through. Maybe it'll help you out. Because it does break it down as to how to make it easier for you.
I was just thinking another way to make it easier. How many days do you have to go to form a habit?
21.
That's another thing they say.
Well, it says here, research has found that one way to make something a habit is to repeat it for 80 to 180 days. You said 21 days.
That's half the year.
Everyone says 3 weeks, don't they?
Well, yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah. Is that to break a habit?
You need a lot of discipline. Okay, all right.
It's so much harder to make a good one than break it.
Yeah. Fit people have a plan B. So, you know, the days when you're like, you just can't be CBF.
Mm, yeah.
do something to take its place. So it's about doing something rather than nothing. So if you can't be bothered going to like a class at the gym, it says go for a 15-minute walk because it's like a placeholder, something that maintains the place of exercise so that it's still part of your habit.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That I could do that.
But then you'd end up just going for 15-minute walks every day instead of going to your big class.
I was just thinking of replacing it with something like an episode of television, though, just like a placeholder.
Right.
No.
No, that's not how it works.
No, stick to regular times. So, like, if you constantly always do, like, a class at 6 p.m. on Monday, you know that's your thing. A walk with your friend on Tuesday. Keep those regular times and stick to them. That'll make it easier for you. Find a compelling reason to move. If you're one of these people that don't like going to the gym, find something else. Go kayaking in the weekend or, like, I don't know, what's a fun exercise? Like do a sport.
Climb a mountain or you do a sport. Yeah,
if you don't like going to the gym purely just for exercise. Simplify other aspects of your life. So making sure that you're prioritizing exercise and streamlining other stuff so you do actually have time for it and you're not at the end of the day like knackered and got no time.
Okay.
So you'd like do two things at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like two things you want to do, like work, exercise into something else.
Or make someone else do the groceries.
Walk down to the dairy and get an ice cream and then walk home.
Defeating the point.
But a placeholder. Yeah. So you'll find it was the first point.
This is a big one. They make sure they have social support. So from your friends and family, make it clear that exercise is a priority and you need to be doing that. Make sure they know that you're being Fitzbo.
Yeah.
Make sure they're helping you out rather than making you eat chibis.
Like those families that are like, let's do something. You know those families? We should play touch rugby.
I don't know.
Three aside. No, neither. That's why they sound like this. They're not real.
And recognize that exercise isn't easy. But if you make it a habit and you make it part of your life and make it part of something that makes you healthier, then you're more inclined to do it rather than like a chore. Apparently, that's 7 habits of fit people.
Apparently.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
It caught my attention when it was sent in for community notices, a lovely little Facebook post on the local Papakura and Takanini Facebook page saying that it was a photo of a guy who had just paid for an old lady's groceries. Kind of stalkerish, not straight on, this is our hero. He's wearing a number 10 Breakers singlet. Top-notch bloke, just paid for an old lady's groceries. And it was a real feel-good.
I think, yeah, they just wanted to share the moment.
Yeah, and they wanted to say, this guy's a champ. We've got a local hero, which is nice because a lot of community notices and posts on local pages are just a lot of complaining and bad, negative thoughts.
But this blew up yesterday. Like, I saw this on the Daily Mail in the UK. It's gone all over the world, this story.
Well,
it's
they found him. He's got a name, and his name is Aaron, and he joins us on the phone now. Good morning, Aaron.
How's it going?
Aaron the angel.
Hero.
Yeah, listen to him with his Kiwi. How's it going?
Yeah, no, that kind of just happened. Wasn't expecting anything like this. And,
Has it kind of blown you away?
Oh, it has. And it's completely distracted me from my whole existence at the moment. I haven't done any work all yesterday, and I can't see myself doing much today because all I'm doing is getting calls and texts and
So there was an old lady there. Did she forget her wallet? And you?
No. This is great because what actually happened, she did pay for some of her groceries, and she paid for the majority of them. It's just she paid for in cash, but her card wasn't working at the till.
Right.
So she went outside to the ATM and I was just in line behind her. So I just picked up the rest of what it was. And I mean, I looked over in a trolley and it wasn't full of all junk food, but you guys would be happy because it was full of cat biscuits. And I got there, and honestly, her cat was named Karen as well.
This is great. This story gets even better.
Hold on. Was the old lady just Fletch from the future? It's a very real possibility.
Very similar.
He does have his eye on some South Auckland real estate.
You helped an old lady buy cat biscuit.
That's so cute.
How much did you end up paying?
Not much. It was no more than the box of Lion Red that I was buying that I wasn't supposed to be, and I hid from my wife that got found out about.
So you were at the supermarket buying a sneaky, cheeky box that you weren't going to tell the missus about. Why weren't you going to tell her about it? Were you just going to be like, oh, no, this is from the last box. I've just got some beers left over.
Yeah, pretty much, because she's been complaining about how my motor's getting a bit bigger. So, you know,
right.
New year, new me.
Oh, I thought you still cut quite a good figure in that breaker singlet, though.
Well, yeah, I do too. And, I mean, apparently everyone else does too because hot property over here.
Now that's what you can say to her.
No. I'm hot property. You better play your cards right. There's no way. It's because not going
to
end well.
Because this did appeal to a lot of females yesterday. They were wondering if you were single. Did that mean the girlfriend got a bit...
wife
had to get a bit, you know, territorial on it?
Oh, well, that's why I think she originally put her post up, just to fend them off straight away. But
Mine!
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
She'd be a bit like that occasionally, but hopefully she's not listening right now. Nah, love you, babe. I know you are.
Oh, well, good on you. I know you really made us feel good yesterday after, you know, the whole President Trump thing over the weekend.
Well, there's still some good in the world.
There's some good in the world.
Since I've flown to new heights and my whole celebrity status is out there, I'm just kind of waiting from Lizzie, that's what I call her, just for my knighthood.
Right, yeah.
All right.
No, yeah, of course, first name, nickname basis with the Queen, of course.
Yeah, well, don't we have to wait until the next New Year's? Is that when they do the next night?
She could do a special emergency one.
Could she? Good luck, Sir Aaron.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
I think this is far-fetched, but I would like to know right now if you are friends with your partner's ex.
So you're with someone now, but you're also friends with their ex.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Yeah. So the reason I want to talk about this is because there's a woman named Esther. She is friends with her husband's ex-girlfriend. Now, not just friends, they're best friends. And they go on holidays together, just the two of them.
How long was she with her husband? How long was this other person with the husband as a girlfriend?
It was a long relationship. So it wasn't just like a quick thing. It was years.
And these two females didn't know each other until they met at some stage through him.
Yeah. And some respects it makes sense because your partner would be drawn to maybe like a certain type of person. So maybe the two females found out they've got a lot in common.
Right, okay.
But you've also got in common the fact that maybe your best friend doesn't actually like your ex. There was a reason they broke up, you know? So always in the back of their mind, they're going to be like, for whatever reason, your husband wasn't good enough for me. Or
it might have been an amicable, it would have to have been an amicable ending of a relationship.
You'd have to completely avoid the topic, like anything to do with relations, talking about anything to do with your husband, wouldn't you? Knowing that you could never ask for an unbiased opinion.
Well, she knows. Doesn't she? She knows. Oh, what do you mean?
Like, if you've got a problem with your husband, be like, something's going on.
It wouldn't be a common topic of conversation, would it?
No. And then how would your partner, your husband feel, knowing that they were...
Well, again, it would have to have been an amicable breakup for him to be...
Yeah. So, yeah, she's basically said we feel like we're really good friends. Lots in common. We go away together for massive holidays, just the two of us.
Is this an article?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So I would like to know if this is common because I don't think I would do it. In fact, I didn't even know that I was semi-friends with one of Andrew's exes because no one told me.
That they were exes.
But then when I found out...
You're not friends anymore.
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was all right
but
until
you
found out.
It was always a weird relationship because obviously she knew.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't know.
And then when you knew, you weren't cool with it.
I was like, oh, that actually explains quite a bit. And now not friends. Because it's weird. No, but it's just, I don't want to, I don't know. You've got a weird thing that you've shared that I don't ever want to talk about.
I don't.
But
and
also.
Everything attached.
Yeah. And
right.
Also, I don't want her to be around if we ever have an argument because she might be sniggering in the corner or something.
Ooh. Oh, I don't know. She would be, would she? That would be if she still wanted to be with him. But they weren't seeing each other when you first started seeing each other.
No.
Right, okay. So it wasn't like there was a crossover period.
But it's still, you'd still feel an element of competition, even if you didn't think that they wanted to be with him.
Right.
All right.
I just don't think it's possible.
If this is actually happening in real life.
Are you friends with your partner's ex?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Something I have no concept of is being good friends with your partner's ex. And there's a story come out about this woman who not only is good friends, but goes on holidays with her partner's ex.
Without the partner.
So I wanted to know if this was a thing. If you are good friends with your partner's ex.
Would you be able to do it if Because a lot of it comes down to the being threatened by these people, doesn't it? From what we're hearing.
Yeah.
Like how they perceive them.
And I guess it comes down to, at one point, your partner really liked them. Like, really liked them.
Mm.
So, like, you don't want to remind them about any of the good stuff.
But then there's also a reason that they are an ex, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also to be kept in mind.
Plus, and I just don't need to be friends with them.
Okay.
I don't need. I've got friends. Okay.
You sound like you're trying to convince yourself now, not us. We're on board. We understand.
So we want to know from you this morning if you're friends with your partner's ex.
Someone texts in, my stepdad's ex lives with my stepdad and my mum and is part of all of our family events, including their wedding.
What? That's a dynamic,
so
isn't it?
They live with them still.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's happening there?
I don't know.
My dad and his partner hang out with two of my dad's exes.
Right.
Not my mum. So dad's a straight up player. Dad's had multiple. Yesterday when I went around there, my dad, his partner, and one of his exes were in the spa together. FML, basically.
Right, yeah.
My sister-in-law has been best friends with her husband's ex-wife for over 30 years. But they're both ex-wives now and are keen to be friends with his new one if he gets married again.
Huh. Weird.
That feels like they're all just keeping tabs. They're starting a little club.
Yeah, right.
Jess, what's the situation? You friends with your partner's ex?
So my partner actually was with my best friend like a long time ago.
Right.
And then they split up and then we actually got together, but it's not weird at all.
Right, and so you're still good friends with her?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're, like, best friends.
But, like, what if you ever want to have, like, girl chat about him in any way? Is that weird?
No, not at all, because they were together so long ago and we've been with different people since then.
Okay. You've never caught her giving him the glad eye?
No.
Okay. Good. Just checking.
Megan's just worried that everybody's being paid for a fool. You're too trusting.
I just find it weird.
There's been a couple of weird moments, but, like, nothing... You know, that I'd be...
too worried about.
No
okay.
way.
Okay.
That's so weird, Jess.
Okay.
Amanda, you are friends with your partner's ex.
No, I'm the ex, and I'm friends with his new girl. We were together 16 years.
Oh, my God.
She's my hairdresser now, and they've asked me to be best man next year when they get married.
Wow, so whose side of the bridal party are you going to be on? Your ex-husband's or your ex-husband's wife-to-be?
No, he's asked me to be his best man and give him away. I'm like, yeah, have him.
Have him.
Oh, that's weird.
Give him away. No returnsies.
Wow.
No returnsies. But no, we're in a band together. Me and my ex-husband are very good friends. She's
not threatened at all.
Not at all. In fact, he's at a spa and he asked me to get in the other day and I didn't want to get in because she wasn't home and she was due home. And when she came home... I told her, and she went, of all the women I know, Amanda, you're the one I'd be least threatened by being in the spa with him if I walked in, so...
Oh, yeah. Offensive.
Yeah. A spa with your ex-husband and his new wife-to-be's cool with it. I suppose she's your hairdresser. If you did any wrong, she'd just, like, give you a number four or something. She pretended it was all cool till she had scissors in her hand.
Amazing. Hey, thanks for your call, Amanda.
No worries.
A couple of other text messages. I was friends with my husband's ex, but for years I didn't know they'd ever been together. No one told me. I thought she was a friend of a family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Megan's
that was
been
new
here.
To the area and did not know their history.
But then after she found out, were they still friends? Does it not
I
say?
Think so. Oh, yeah,
you'd
it sounds
be
like
so
it doesn't say
dark.
That ended.
You'd be so dark. You would get
yeah,
in the loop.
Just the not being told would be
yeah.
worse.
Yeah.
My husband of 29 years, I'm really good friends with his ex-wife of 7 years. So
right.
Ex-wife's still on the scene. Lots of people messaging and it's so much easier to be on good terms when there's kids involved.
Yeah, that's true. I understand that.
You kind of take it out of your realm and make it more about the kids.
Yeah.
Someone said, I had a boss. He left his wife on fairly good terms, got a new wife. He had kids to the first wife and to the second wife. They'll all go on holiday together and have movie night once a week with everybody involved.
Oh.
And still really good friends.
Well,
and
good
the new partner's
the
good friends with the ex.
Mm.
Huh.
Well, maybe there's time for you to rekindle that romance with your fiance's ex, Megan.
It's a friendship, not a romance.
It's a friendship.
Because then if she develops a romance with her fiance's ex and then they become a thing.
Mm.
It's a triangle.
Yeah.
Messy.
Everybody's
messy. Yeah, very messy.
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay without it.
Right.
Don't make me to be the crazy one. There's lots of people, even though they didn't text in, that agree with me. They're totally on my side.
Yeah.
I was actually, like, pleasantly surprised by the amount of feedback of people that can be friends with their...
Yeah, good on you.
Partner's ex.
Well, maybe they're more mature, Megan.
It's not for me.
It's not for me. It's like Coriander Fletch. It's not for everybody.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
Tins are nightmares!
Today's Tinder Nightmarian is Hannah. She's joining us to tell us about an awful Tinder date that she had. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You sound very vibrant.
Like, you sound excited to tell us about this.
Yeah, is this something you got to get off your chest, or is it just like you can look back and laugh now?
Oh, I look back and laugh on it all of the time. It is just the worst experience of my life.
I love, by the way, as well, because we post this a bit on Facebook and say, you know, click here if you've got one. I love when people tag their friends in and they're like, you need to tell them about that Tinder date.
And that's what all of my friends and family are like as well. Like, you need to tell this to the world.
Okay.
Go on then.
Okay, so it was my kind of first Tinder experience. And I was meeting up with this guy. I had chatted to him for like over a week, like just chatting back and forth. And he was really sweet and charming and everything. And so we decided to meet up. And we were meeting in our local watering hole for a few drinks. And so I turned up and I sat there and waited and waited and waited.
Oh, okay.
He arrived and he was probably 25 to 35 minutes late.
Okay.
Not a great start.
No.
Forgivable.
Had he messaged, though, to say, I'm caught up in traffic or I'm going to be a bit late?
No, nothing like that.
Oh, okay. Right.
Okay.
So I just kind of sat there and I was getting to the point where I was kind of ready to go home. And in walks this person and I kind of recognized the face, but not really.
Okay.
And the reason I didn't recognize him was because he was probably about 30 kilos heavier than he was in his pictures.
Okay.
Which is fine. I don't,
misleading.
No hate.
Misleading, Your Honor. Misleading.
Yeah, but no, that's all good because he was charming, so I'll accept it. But then he walked through the door properly and I realized he's wearing a full-on tuxedo. Like, I'm talking penguin suit.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's doing like a penguin.
Which is way overdressed for where we were.
Yeah.
And anyway, so the date just was not happening. I was not feeling it. So I kind of made an excuse about how I had to leave. So he said, oh, let me walk you to the car.
Okay.
So he walked me to my car. And the whole way to my car, he talked about introducing me to his mum.
Oh, no.
On the first date. And asking if I wanted to come over now to meet her and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, no, that's okay, actually. I kind of have to go. Next minute, I turn around to, like, thank him for the date and everything, and he just lunges at me, going in for the kiss.
You've got to feel sorry for him, at least give him a goodbye kiss, right?
Oh, my God. Well, he lunged at me with his tongue out already.
No!
With his tongue in my nostril.
Oh, God.
So long that what could have been an accident. And, yeah, so I am traumatised. And I have had a tongue in my nostril for way too long than I care to mention.
Oh, I want to laugh. I feel really bad laughing. Like, he turned up in a tuxedo.
I know.
I've got a few follow-ups. Is the local watering hole ever likely to have had someone in a tuxedo walk into it before?
Probably not.
No, that's the first one.
Staring at you guys the whole date?
Yes, the entire day.
Right. Yeah.
Why was he late? Did he ever explain himself?
No, he never explained himself. All I can imagine is that he took a lot of time and effort to get into the tuxedo. Yeah.
Do you think he was dressed and ready to go and he was getting ready to leave the house and the mum's like, you're not going on a date like that, are you? Oh, you better put on your father's tuxedo.
I'm a bit like Megan. I'm a bit like, there's a bit of more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but at least he got a bit of...
Are you going to, it's all very well for Fletcher and Megan to sit here and be like, oh, but it's not like you're going to date old Penguin Guy.
Well, to be honest, I would have done a bit more background research.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Did you like stalk his Facebook and Instagram and stuff?
Oh, yeah. And even now, to this day, I could look back on his Facebook and he's still got like the really nondescript photos of him that are like super catfishing.
This is Rich coming from Fletch, who still untags photos from 2008 when I put up fat photos of us from the time.
Yeah, but that's the other way round, Vaughn. Those are old fat photos,
not current fat.
But there is a silver lining. That was my first and last Tinder date for a while, but then I did go on another Tinder date and I've been open at the rest for years. So.
Yay! So it works out.
And at least Penguin got a bit of nostril, eh?
Yeah, it's always,
you've got to have a few frogs lick your nose.
I don't think that's a saying.
I don't know if that's a saying.
I don't think that's a saying.
Hannah, thank you so much.
No worries, guys. Have a great day.
I'd like to know off the back of Hannah's call of those pash disasters, like a tongue up a nose is right. I've had a couple of teeth clanger.
Oh, that really hurts. And it's embarrassing.
Yeah, because they feel it as bad as you.
Or you try to kiss someone in the dark and you miss.
That happens all the time to me. I'll lean over for a kiss and end up like gently sucking on an eyeball. You laugh like you're above it.
So you want to hear from if you've had a kiss disaster?
Yeah, how did it go bad that first pash, I guess? Or,
okay.
Yeah.
0800-DARS-ZM-9696.
Like a penguin's tongue up the nose is up to you. He wasn't a penguin, was he? He was dressed like a penguin.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Well, we just heard our Tinder nightmare today with a bad kiss.
It was a whole bunch of stuff, wasn't it?
But it ended with
the bad kiss.
The tongue up the nose.
Can't blame a guy for trying, though, you know, like, it's the end of the day.
But don't come at her with your tongue out. You know, like,
that's a weird one. Weird technique.
Yeah.
I know it's frowned upon in some social circles, but I quite like it to kiss with my eyes open so I don't miss.
You're a creep. But you can go in with your eyes open, but then why don't you close them?
But every now and then I just open them to make sure I'm still kissing the right place. You know, like, it's like driving. If you don't concentrate, you start drifting and you hit the rumble lines, but you don't have rumble lines on the face, do you?
So what if she opened her eyes? You're both staring at each other.
I know, that would be really weird. She never does.
Kelly, let's take some calls. Your kiss disaster. What happened?
So when you said about, like, going in for a kiss in the dark, so you're not really looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
That turns out rather badly when someone sleeps with their, like, hands behind their head, their arms up.
So whereabouts?
You kiss
the armpit. It's like, good night. It tastes like lynx.
Always put the hand in for a search first guide you.
But then you're poking them in the face.
Do you put on deodorant to go to bed?
Don't they say that you're supposed to put deodorant on the night before for it to work properly the next day?
Really?
Yeah, apparently. No one does, though.
But sometimes I'll wake up in the morning to get ready for work and I'll be like, how do I smell that bad? Like, I shower right before I go to bed and then I do nothing apart from sleep and I wake up. It's not like pongy, real bad, stinky like I've been at the gym, but it's a bit like, what's happened?
Hey, Kelly, thanks. You called Jack. Jack, your kiss disaster, what happened?
Yeah, well, at a nightclub one night and dancing with some chick and I was pretty drunk myself and then went in for the kiss and she ended up burping in my mouth.
What was she drinking? Like, was it an alcoholic burp?
I don't know. It didn't taste very nice.
Jack.
But what, you kept going or were you just like, I'm done here?
No, it made me dry rich. I was pretty...
That's all right. Thanks, Jack.
I don't know. Good bourbon burp.
Crystal, what happened?
So I met this guy. He was drop dead gorgeous. My flatmate reckoned he looked like a male model.
Okay.
We were hanging out, watching a movie. He like held my hand. I was like, oh yeah, that's okay.
What's the catch? It's coming, isn't it?
we're doing a phone and topic on weird kissing, Megan. I think we all know where the story's going.
But what could happen next?
He went in for the kiss and basically the kiss didn't match up with the way that he looked. And it was like his top lip had like no muscle strength at all. And it was just like kind of flopping and kind of like making like random kind of bubble kind of noises. And I was like, okay, I'll go with this because he's so hot. But then I was like, this isn't happening right.
What if you're like kissing a fish or something? It's
like it was just like, what are your lips doing? Like, you need to like have some muscle and some like maneuvering in your lips.
Did you try and teach him or you're just like, no, I'm out?
I was just like, oh, yeah, just go with this. Go, yeah, okay. And he just kind of left it at that and pretended like there was nothing wrong. And afterwards, I was just like, this isn't right.
But then you're like,
I try and teach him.
Yeah,
I think I would. If we hang out again, I think I'll definitely try and teach him.
Oh, so is this recent? Ongoing. Is this ongoing?
Yeah, it's like 1 week ago. Like, we hung out like,
oh, no.
What are the like subtle hints we can drop just in case he's listening that he might be like, oh, I think I kissed a girl, but I was using my soft upper lip technique.
No.
But what? But well, how do you...
The funniest thing is that I worked out that I've actually seen him before, and me and my workmates, the way that we drive to work, we pretty much drive past his work site. And the last 6 months, we've been tuning out going, where's the hot guy? Woo!
And it's him.
You finally kissed the hot guy, and he's got a weird upper lip thing.
You know, I bet next time you guys meet up, he's going to be like, let's have a little kiss, or however you do that these days.
Listen to this, he probably won't meet me again.
No, he's going to come in hot and he's going to have the stiffest upper lip kiss. He's going to be like kissing a skeleton. He's going to be like...
But how do you just bring that up to someone that they're a bad kisser? Like, how would
I tried to teach during the kissing, but it just wasn't
it. You're like take a lead.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Like, I think you just have to be pretty blunt. Hey, like, oh, try this. This when you do that.
Do you think you can kiss, teach people that?
I think
well, it's like a dog. Praise them when they do something good.
Yeah, so if he does, think you can, but I don't think on the first date you can turn around and say, look, you suck at kissing, you need to do this.
No, you've got
to
break it to them. Like Megan said, have a couple of Tux biscuits in your back pocket. Break a little bit off when he does well.
Nice, amazing. Thank you, Crystal. Wait there.
Some text messages in. I went in for a kiss on this girl I really liked. As I leant in, much like the other person, she burped, but my response was to actually spew. So it was not a good kiss, and it was never followed up. Someone said, this was totally out of our hands, but I was seeing this girl for a while. It had been a long time coming. We were finally going to have a kiss, and we both got smacked in the side of the head with a soccer ball. it caused us to like smash our heads together, and like we were all bleeding, and I had a chipped tooth.
Hilarious for the person that kicked the ball, watching that unfold.
Not hilarious for the other people. First pash with a girl. It was my first pash ever.
Yeah.
And she had just finished eating corn chips. 11 years on, the taste of corn chips still haunts me.
Like Doritos. Or nacho chips.
Well, they don't specify.
Don't specify the chip.
I mean, if it was a salsa Dorito, there would be no complaints.
Yeah, but then that would ruin salsa Doritos, wouldn't it?
But it wouldn't have been a problem in the first place because they're so delicious.
Yeah.
I went to kiss a guy for our first kiss together. We'd kissed before. And he latched onto my chin. I was like, oh, and I tried to pull away, but he kept sucking on my chin. And apparently that was just what he was into.
Like a chin hickey or something.
Bring that in later.
Yeah.
Never go straight in with your weird fetishes.
Listen to this. Bring this in later. Like she does that.
Start as normal as you can and then turn into the freak you are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basic relationship advice. Yeah.
Gradual freak.
Don't let them know that you're a horrible mutant straight away.
Yeah.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Fact of the day. Today's fact of the day, I've done a last minute change out.
Okay.
I was going to tell you why curtains and cinemas are red.
Oh, I would have liked that one.
Oh, do you want to know that one?
I want to know that one too.
Why? But why have you changed?
Because it sounds funny.
Is it a tradition thing?
Okay, I'm gonna tell you that.
You know, we do
fact.
Like more I'll do that the fact. One fact of the day, eh? So you can tell us that one and save the other one for tomorrow.
But this one's gonna burn a hole in my pocket.
Okay,
I'm just gonna tell
just
you. Then.
Choose one and go.
No, I'm gonna tell you. This is a warm up fact.
Okay,
what do they call those things? A four word. This is a four fact to today's fact of the day. Hugh Grant's middle name is Mungo, so his name's Hugh Mungo.
It is not.
It is Hugh John Mungo Grant. And I looked up Mungo as a
John
name.
In the way.
Doesn't use John. He doesn't like John. It's Scottish. It's the alternative name for St. Kentigan, the patron saint of Glasgow, who was a 6th century apostle.
Mungo. Hugh Mungo.
So his name is Hugh Mungo Grant. That's a little four fact.
You've actually checked that out.
I've done my research because I was like, that's too good to be true.
Okay.
But it's actually true.
Right. But so the actual fact of the day.
The actual fact, today's fact of the day, his main fact of the day, is that the reason theatre curtains and seats are traditionally red, it's the colour that first disappears in low light.
Oh,
so when the lights go down, red disappears first. When you're scuba diving,
yeah,
things aren't red because red disappears in the low light of scuba diving. When you get to a certain depth, red disappears. And it's the same in theatres. It's not as good as Humunga, right? You're really like, I can see Fletcher's it's interesting, but man, Hugh Grant's middle name is Mungo. That's ridiculous.
But why don't they just have black curtains? Because it's not as pretty.
Because you see when it's there, you can actually see that they are curtains.
Right.
And to walk into a cinema where everything's black is very dark from the offset, but they want to give the feeling that you're walking into this bright, vibrant place, and then the lights go down and you become completely engrossed. You forget about the fact that these beautiful red, rich velvet curtains were hanging up there and the seats are red as well.
Okay.
But now sometimes they make them more patterned, because it hides stains better, because people are always dropping their choc tops on their lap.
Yes.
And then they're like, I've dropped a choc top on my lap. That flake of chocolate was about $3 worth.
Because there's not much of a turnaround time between movies. Like, the people that have to hover up the popcorn, vacuum that up, they must have to work pretty quickly.
Can you imagine the day that the backpack-mounted vacuum became commonplace in a cinema? Like, that would have saved you so much time. Like, because I just rocks in with a super long cord. But otherwise, it would have been, you know, when you drag your vacuum cleaner around the house, it literally catches everything it goes by. Like, it's like, oh, the bench, I'll grab onto that. Oh, I'm going to go on the wrong side of this table leg because I'm a stupid vacuum cleaner. And then you pull it and it goes and shifts the whole table.
Yeah.
And do you think it would be frowned upon to get a backpack vacuum cleaner for home, or are they too much?
I don't know how much they cost.
You know how it says, like, you're in the good books with your wife or whatever if you do housework and you might get
She's got a birthday coming up.
You're going to completely undo the sexiness of that if you wear a backpack vacuum cleaner.
No, because I'll put on some overalls and pretend I'm a Ghostbuster. And I'll get it'll say Dustbusters on the back.
That's like not going to work.
Ghostbusters. And I'll play that song every time I come out. Something strange in the neighborhood. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. And she'll be like, oh my God, the kids aren't home for 2.5 hours. Let's do it.
Is she?
No.
No.
How much do they cost?
You're looking at a little Google.
Did Dyson do a backpack-mounted vacuum?
I don't think they do. Wet and dry vacs. Oh, this doesn't say. You've got to email Martin.
Martin! List your prices on your website,
I hate it when people don't list their prices.
To me, that when you don't list your price, it tells me it's going to be more expensive than you thought. It's going to be so expensive that if they put the price on, you're on Godfrey's
now. Okay, I'm on Godfrey's. I've got one.
Go on.
This is a backpack vacuum cleaner.
It's
a Pullman. I don't know that brand, but it's $479. It's got 4 out of 5 stars.
That is way too much money for a vacuum cleaner.
Here's another one for $600.
Oh, God.
You're going the wrong way. Go up. It seems like you're going to the more expensive ones.
No, they're just out of order.
$100.
Yeah, those are two.
$100 for a vacuum cleaner. I've got like $70 and it's lasted me 3 years already.
Really?
Yeah. You've got, no wonder you're always sick.
Yeah, but you're
dust mites. It's not getting the dust mites.
Your apartment is the size of the average like toilet.
Yeah, I know. I only have to plug it into one wall and it does the whole house.
Bliss.
I know, kiddo.
Bliss.
Today's fact of the day is
Vaughn wants a backpack mounted vacuum cleaner. I mean, Mike Hosking, what's his deal with Dyson?
He just talks about them and they give him one.
Done.
But he's got a Ferrari and stuff, doesn't he?
He's got lots more listeners.
So he doesn't need another
Dyson. And he's got a lot more listeners. Does he? So, yeah. So
he's reaching more people.
I'd like to see some proof that he's got a lot more listeners.
There's proof quite often, several times a year.
Is there?
Yeah.
Why not? Tell me about that.
I don't think they make a backpack.
Dyson?
No.
Well, they're missing. They can then make a backpack and pay me one of them for the one.
What was the original fact?
Today's fact of the day is that theatre seats and curtains are traditionally red because they are the first colour that disappears in low light.
Fact of the day.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
The Lions are coming. Not actual Lions. The Lions are
the rugby
team.
Tour.
Yeah, the rugby tour is happening. I've just been reading that there's like going to be a hotel shortage And the places where they're playing, Auckland, Wellington, Rotorua, those are the Lions games.
Yep.
Against the All Blacks and the Māori All Blacks. And apparently there's going to be a hotel shortage and people are looking at renting their houses to people who are here for the Lions tour.
This happens every now and again. The World Cup, it happened.
Yeah.
Every now and again. Even the Lions come every, 4 or 5 years, don't they? And this always happens.
Yeah, sells out. It's massive.
They bring so much money. Because they just all get boozed up, don't they? And
because it's not just one country, right? It's the British and Irish. So it's like more people can come than would come for just the British team coming, just the English rugby team. So people are going to be hiring out their houses for like phenomenal amounts of money.
So like what, on Airbnb?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a spare room. I could do that.
You could come and stay at my house in our spare room and and I'll take the profit from one of your rooms and you take the profit from the other room and the living room and the kitchen.
Well, no, you just let me stay for room free.
Well, no, not if you're making money. That seems I tell you what, I'll chuck in a My Food Bag dinner room.
Will you now?
Yeah, and because that means that I'm going to have a smaller My Food Bag
dinner room. Right, okay.
Do you think someone would want to stay in my house?
No. Back to Fletcher's house. There's no room for the...
I'd go move out.
You and Toy Boy could go and stay at Toy Boy's parents' house.
Yeah. Does it matter that I don't own it? Like I'm renting?
Oh, that's subletting.
That's a bit iffy because I know some people do that. They get caught, don't they, by their landlords.
Oh, is it not allowed?
Because they might have a room and they'll every now and again Airbnb it out. Because one of my friends went away for Christmas, New Year, went away for like 2 weeks and Airbnb'd her room out. And she's just renting, in a flat.
Oh,
and what did the flatmates think of that?
Well, they didn't care because they were getting the money.
Right.
But they would have got the money anyway. She couldn't say, I'm not paying rent for 3 weeks while I'm not here.
Well, yeah.
Interesting.
They just didn't care. They were like,
that's all right. That's fine. So they reckon you're going to be able to hire your houses out for some phenomenal amounts of money.
How much could I get for my spare room then?
Well, they reckon pretty average accommodation in Wellington is at $600 a night for the second match.
Wow.
That's what a Lions fan told the paper when they talked to them. So, I mean, Wellington's $600 average ACOM.
If you have people, a couple or like someone in your spare room, you're going to have to talk to them.
Oh, I don't want to talk to them.
No, that's why I'm saying, when are we... I asked Fletch this because watch this. I guarantee he'll know the answer. When are we away mid-year?
From June 16th.
Yeah.
To the 30th or 2nd or whatever. Is that when it's on?
Lion tested from June 24th to July 8th. When's Auckland one? Because that would be... So the first and third are in Auckland. The first one, you could totally...
Yeah.
Will
they feed my cat?
Make it a provisioso. Dress your cat up as a lion.
I don't trust people.
What happens if they feed your cat vodka or like
exactly.
Sell them?
Or they get drunk and they spill stuff everywhere. Like, I don't trust.
No, that's part of the Airbnb. Yeah. Do you do a holding?
Like, I don't mind saying it because we stayed, my friend and I, when we went overseas, stayed in Airbnb and she was like vomiting in their rubbish bin. And I was like, this is why I don't want to be an Airbnb host. Because here she is like vomiting in their rubbish bin.
Why didn't she vomit in their toilet?
She didn't get there.
Why?
This is why I don't want to be
cleaned up and everything, though.
Oh yeah, you know,
didn't leave the vomit in.
No,
the
I cleaned it up because it's my rating on the line
on the Airbnb.
Yeah,
right.
You cleaned up someone else's vomit.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was my first Airbnb rating. Got a 5 as well.
Well done.
5 stars for me. Thank you.
Well done.
She had no idea the host of the vomit in the bucket on the first night at all. She was none the wiser. But yeah, I mean, if you've got a spare place, it might be a good idea to get it on Airbnb or rent it out for late June, early July.
Early July.
If you're in Wellington, Rotorua or Auckland.
Yeah, check out what dates are in your town.
I think we should get a commission for telling you that, actually. Just be nice.
From Airbnb or from individuals
from everybody.
Listening.
From everybody that's going to do that.
take a
little 10% commission.
Yeah.
Okay. Be nice.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
We're going to start with you, Georgia. What's your story for last calls?
So I'm just a lifeguard at a community pool.
Hey, okay. You're not just, Georgia, you're not just a lifeguard. You're a potential hero every time you don those togs and sit up on that high seat.
Yes, it is a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Potential.
Okay.
So yesterday we had a lady come up and tell us we had a code brown situation in the girls' bathroom.
Oh, so you are a hero, because that's your...
Oh, God.
A code brown
problem.
In the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay.
we went in and there was literally poo splashed on the walls, a big pile on the floor and both toilets, and there was just a little girl standing there naked with it all from her waist to her toes.
Oh, my. But, like, what had happened?
We don't know. She was just, she wouldn't really tell us.
Oh, no.
I would have been angry, but I need to know how this happened.
Yeah, where is your parent? Because they are cleaning you and it all up.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock.
Oh, my God. No. And did you find her parent? Or what did you do?
She was there with, like, a holiday program.
Oh, no.
I'd just be like, I'm a lifeguard. I need to get back to my post.
Yeah, someone could drown. I can't be in here too long. Yeah.
I just put up one of those little signs that stops people getting in there and just be like,
and just shut it down to someone else and clean it up.
We're going to let nature take care of that one.
All right, Georgia, thanks for your call. Wait there. Jordan, what's your story for last calls?
So last week we went out for dinner for my brother's birthday. We went into the city and I live rurally, so it's about an hour and a half drive.
Yeah.
And so we're in Auckland City and then we get a call from the postie and he's like, someone's going to need to be home tomorrow morning around 10 because we've got a parcel for you and you've got to sign it to be able to collect it. Now, because we're rural, he always just leaves it at the front door because, you know, it's rural and it's like, okay, just put it at the front door, we'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Okay. So mum and dad are sitting there like, oh my God, we've won something huge. And mum's been entering all these competitions for the new house, like furniture and
oh
stuff.
Oh my God.
They rung their bosses and were like, look, we're going to have to come in late. We've got a massive parcel arriving and we're like so excited. And mum was literally about to cry. She was like, oh my God, this never happened. So they both got the day off, like the morning off work.
Yeah.
And my brother were like, oh my God, you've built this up. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's going to have to be real good.
Mum crying.
Yeah.
It's a free upgrade of a Sky Dakota. And mum was like fuming. She's like, no, because like usually they would just leave it there. Like, why didn't he leave the Sky Dakota there? And so now she's just got no trust in this postie. And
hey, the postie's just doing his job.
I think it's cute the postie's got your number. The postie had my number. He'd be texting me every 2 minutes.
It's like when the courier... I had mates that are couriers and apparently the most annoying thing they get asked is, oh, what is it? Like...
Oh, you're like, they know. Like, they open your
this
mail.
This would have been the one occasion where, you know, given that they were about to take a day off work and put themselves out by so much to be like, is it worth it? Like, what is it? How big is it? Oh, bless.
I know, surely he would have just said, oh, don't worry, it's got a scar on the back of it or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Not really worth taking a half day. That's a full day combined, isn't it? Two half days.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan, wait there. Ryan, what's your story for last calls?
Hey, mate. So I had a thing when I was a kid of running around outside naked.
Yeah.
My dad always told me that I shouldn't do it because a bird might think my willy is a worm.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was, came home one day, jumped in the shower, and we had a big family gathering downstairs. And I'm in the shower, and this bird comes flying in through the window.
Yeah.
And the first thing I think is this bird's going to eat my willy. Yeah. So I jumped out the shower, and I slipped. And I went sprinting down the hallway, ran down the stairs. But as I'm running down the stairs, I trip. So I'm rolling down the stairs, butt naked, soaking wet, screaming, this bird's going to eat my willy. Went running into the lounge that was packed, and I went screaming, Dad, this bird's going to eat my willy. And everyone's looking at me like, what is going on? My dad starts laughing. I'm bawling my eyes out. My mom protects me while my dad goes and wrestles this bird in the bathroom for about an hour.
How many people would have been in your house?
30?
Jeez.
That's a lot of people that have now seen you, Willie, and witnessed you crying.
That's brilliant.
Might be eaten.
All right, Ryan, wait there. Let's vote the Tribal Council now, our favourite story.
Votes are in. And the show continuing to stick to its highbrow nature as per the Herald article yesterday, because it's the poo story that wins today.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, catch them every morning from 6 and check them out on Facebook. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. ZM.